prepared some Mar Makomos. I know normally you guys don't do that here, but it might be helpful, so I'll just hand them out real quick. Here we go. I think the answer to the question was Hearts of Palm. Is that what you're thinking of, maybe?
Hearts of Palm. Yeah. That's the
Hearts of Palm is a question about the bark or something.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. First of all, thank you very much to everyone involved in organizing this, the sponsor and president, of course, Rabbi Block. This is not my first time being here, my first time speaking here. Two and a half years ago was Akiva's Ofruf, as Rabbi Block mentioned, and I spoke here, and it was my first opportunity to experience Roslyn community, and this is an opportunity further to learn and get to know and learn with everybody here, the Roslyn community, to see where Akiva, how he grew up, who molded Akiva into what he is, the face of modern Orthodox. If not yet, he will be in a few years. I'm not sure does everybody know his new position, so we're all very excited. So everything I gained from Akiva, Akiva told me he's gained from his father, the rabbi. And a couple of weeks ago, we had this luncheon in the kollel that I'm in. We have a luncheon. And the presenter asked us to go around the room and say who our role model is. And no question in my mind who Akiva would say, and he said it, of course, his father. So, it's wonderful to be here, and thank you, Rabbi Block, and thank you to everybody. So, tonight's shiur, I would like to focus on Perek Chaf, with all the highlights of all different colors here, and then expand the discussion a little bit globally to the rest of the Parsha, and then come back finally to conclude to answer a glaring question that all the Mefarshim ask, that in this week's Parsha, Parshas Chukas, it begins with the Paraduma. The Paraduma, the red cow, they would shecht and sprinkle the blood and mix the water and everything to purify people who are Tumas Meis. And all the Achronim, all the Mefarshim want to know, why is Paraduma in the middle of all these stories? We have stories of the Meraglim going into Eretz Yisrael. We have the stories of Korach challenging Moshe Rabbeinu. Mm-hmm. We have this week's Parsha. We'll get into the stories. But smack in the middle, you have the Paraduma, some halachas of how one becomes Tahor when in contact with a dead person. So we'll come back. Hopefully our themes will develop. We'll answer that question in the end. So let's begin with the first page here in the Perek Chaf of Chukas. I like to read the Psukim and just raise questions. And everyone here, I'm welcome to everyone to join in and ask questions. Just to get familiar with the story, to get the minds working, to get some ideas out there. You don't have to remember all the questions. When we get back to an answer, we'll address the relevant question, but just to get an idea. So let's begin from the beginning of Pasuk Aleph. Vayavo v'nei Yisrael kol ha'ay edam midbar tzin. B'nei Yisrael, the entire assembly went to, or unclear by, they were in the midbar, b'chodesh harishon, in the first month. Vayeshev ha'am b'kadesh, they settled in Kadesh. Tamas Sham Miriam. Miriam died there, but Tikaver Sham, and she was buried there. So here more Mar Makomos. I should leave them in the back. So the first question, as the highlights indicate, the word Sham is very strange here. They were in Kadesh and say Miriam died and she was buried. Why does it say she died there? We know where there was, and she was buried there. Just say Tamas Miriam Vatikaver. Maybe you want to say Vatikaver Sham. The word Sham is very strange. And maybe you're going to tell me the word Sham, it just, it's not an important word, it just means there. The Gemara makes drushes, they use this word to teach certain halachas. That someone who dies, you can't derive any benefit from someone who dies. How does one know that? Because the word Sham, which is by Miriam, also exists by the halacha of Egla Rufa. And we have this concept called Gzeira Shava. One word is in context A, one word is in context B, and we carry over halachas. So the word Sham, the Torah, the Gemara use Sham to use to derive certain halachas. So the Sham is significant, but why do they mention it here? Why is it repeated? And we'll see the word Sham over and over again in the Parsha. It's very strange. Reading further in Pasuk Beis now, They had no water, suddenly. And Rashi points out because the water that was being brought to Klal Yisrael was in the Zechus, the merit of Miriam. Once Miriam died, they lost that Zechus, the water went away. So they lost the water, Le'eda. The Eda now, we're referring to that as an Eda, that's fine. Vayikalu al Moshe va'Aaron, and they gathered together to challenge Moshe and Aaron. What's the challenge? Vayorav ha'am Moshe, the nation decided to fight with Moshe. Vayomru le'mor, they said to him, V'luga vanu bigva achenu l'fnei Hashem. We would prefer to have died with our brothers before Hashem. Why was that better? When did they want to die? What are they referring to exactly? Furthermore, v'lama ha'vesem eskal Hashem. Why did you bring the kal of Hashem? Notice we had the word Eda in green above. We call them Eda. Now we're shifting to the word kal. This happens throughout the Chumash, but we're going to try to be local at least. Why sometimes are they called Eda? And why sometimes is Klaius are referred to as kal? Now reading further, so again, v'lama ha'vesem eskal Hashem. Why did you bring the kal of Hashem, the congregation of Hashem, el ha'midbar hazet, to this place, Lamush Sham, to die there. Why are you saying, again, the word Sham? Just say, Lamush, why did you bring us to the Midbar to die? We have all the yellow highlights here. The word Sham is always in the context of Mace in this Parsha. Anachnu Uvirin, why do you have us die here in the desert and all our cattle? Vilama, second Lama now, and furthermore, Moshe and Aaron, Lama Heli Yisuna, why did you bring us up, Mimitzrayim? Lavi Osanu Lamakom Arazeh, to bring us to this bad place? Lomakom Zera Usein of a Geffen Virim. It's not a place that has seeds growing or different types of fruit growing. Umayim ein lishtos. And there's no water for us to drink. Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron b'pnei ha'kal. And Moshe and Aaron went up because of the kahal. El Pesach o al moed to the moed. So now the word b'pnei ha'kal is also strange. I highlighted that in red. Moshe and Aaron went up to Pesach o al moed. We know why they're going there, because they're being challenged. Yet the Torah says they went up b'pnei ha'kal, because of the kahal. The Netziv also asks this question. He says, why are you saying Mipnei HaKal? He has this creative answer that they were sitting Shiva, because Miriam just died. So, normally you can't do anything during Shiva. You have to stay in the house. But for this need of Bnei Yisrael challenging Moshe and Aaron, they were able to leave. That's why they got up, because the Kal was a good enough reason for them to leave Shiva. But that doesn't seem to be Pashup Shad. It could be an answer, but the simple reading, they got up because the Kal, it's an extra, it's superfluous. El Pesach Ol HaMoed, Vayiplu Al Panam, they fell on their faces. Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces because they were being challenged. Never before did we see them fall on their faces when they were challenged. They stood up, and they actually davened to Hashem, help us out, help the Klal Yisrael, but here they give up.
Didn't Moshe fall on his face with Korah?
Maybe you're right. Could be. You're right. That's a good point. So we'll leave that question aside. Yeah. So Vayirachod Hashem La'aleim, and then Hashem appeared to them. So a lot of questions we have here. No answers yet. Now let's read further the famous case, or the famous story of the water and the rock and the hitting of the rock. Pasuk Zayin says, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, kach es amateh, take the stick, he says to Moshe, v'hakel sa'eda, gather the eda. Notice the word eda is being used here. We said sometimes eda, sometimes kal, the word eda is being used here. It says also v'hakel, but they're referring to as an object, they're referred to as eda. The action is gathering, though. Ata ve'aron, you and Aaron, achicha, v'dibartim el ha'sela le, Nam, go speak to the rock. V'nosan me'mav, and bring its water out from the rock. V'hotzei salahem ma'im in ha'sela, you'll bring out water from the rock. V'shkisa es ha'eda es ves biram. And you're going to give water to drink to the Eda again, and to its cattle. V'yikach Moshe es ha'mata, they took the stick, m'lefnei Hashem, from before Hashem, kasher tzivau, like they commanded. Now that's very strange. He took the stick, just like Moshe, just like Hashem told him to do. What did he do with the stick? Usually it would say kasher tzivahu at the end of the whole story. Here all he did was take a stick. Oh great, you did what Hashem told you to do. He didn't finish the act. For reading further, now vayakilu Moshe v'Aaron, Moshe and Aaron gathered together as a kal el pnei asala. They gathered the kal now. We're talking about Eda. In this whole parsha at least, they refer to as Eda. Suddenly Moshe and Aaron refer to them as a kal. Vayomar Lahem, he says to them, Shimu na hamorim, listen to me, you rebels. Hamin ha'selah ha'zeh noti lechemayim. If you think from this rock we're going to bring water, of course we're going to bring water from this rock. Vayar Moshe es yado, he lifted his hands. Vayachas ha'selah m'mateh pa'amayim, he hit the rock 2 times. Vayitu mayim rabim v'atesh ta'edah v'iram. And now back to Eda, and the Eda drink. So we have this Eda Kal thing going back and forth.
So what would this be called? Is this an Eda or a Kahal? What is it? I don't know the difference. In fact, I was discussing with somebody last Shabbat, and what's the difference?
Right. So I'm going to try to answer that. I didn't see anybody who answered this way, or anyway, actually, I didn't see anybody who addressed the issue at all. I'm going to suggest something. I admit it's from this parsha alone. I didn't test it out with the other parshios, so it's a work in progress. But I think at least it may hold up in this parsha. And you could tell me if you've seen other ways, you know, bring rise for me or against me. But we'll see what we could develop. So before answering the questions, or some of the questions, and developing what exactly is going on here, let's just get our bearings here. And we're talking about a story here. Who are the characters involved here? Who are the main characters? So there are three main characters. First is Bnei Yisrael. So the first pasuk on our sheet says, Kol ha'eda min bartzin. What's Kol ha'eda? So Rashi says, this is the Eda, is a kosher Eda, he says. It's a new generation. Kadosh Baruch Hu already decreed that everybody who was in the Meraglim involved in that has to die. That generation died. Now this is the new generation. The next generation is here. These people did not go through the Shibud and Mitzrayim. They did not go through most of the events. They're ready to enter Eretz Yisrael. A nice, fresh group, never sinned. So these people are so excited. They say, everyone died, we're the new generation. No one is left except for three people. But the three leaders we'll get to in a second. We're excited to enter Eretz Yisrael now. The second characters, group of characters, are the three leaders, Miriam, Moshe, Aaron. Now these three people went through a lot. They had to deal with Klal Yisrael, who had given them a lot of hardships, a lot of complaining. And now they're thinking, oh great, finally those people were gone. And now we have a new, fresh group of people who are so excited. They didn't go through the hardships of Mitzrayim, so they're stronger, more confident. This is going to be a smooth trip to Eretz Yisrael. So everyone's happy-go-lucky right now. And the third character is obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So those are the three characters. Everything seems very, very positive here. But then suddenly, as we pointed out in the Pasuk, Miriam dies. And then they have no water. So what happened? I thought we were the people who were supposed to enter Eretz Yisrael. Miriam dies, our leader dies. Now we have no water. We didn't do anything wrong. Why is this happening to us? I thought the decree was on the previous generation. So what do they say now? Miriam dies, they have no water. So we had a couple of lamas, a couple of questions. They were challenging Moshe Rabbeinu. Why do you bring this cow? Why do you bring us to this bad place? So the Sforno says there were two complaints. One complaint was towards Moshe Rabbeinu and the leaders. And the second complaint was towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, we have the three characters. The one character of Bnei Yisrael is complaining to the two other characters, to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Hashem. That's all he says. He's very terse. The question is, what does he mean by this? So I'd like to suggest to answer this Eda Kal question. It will help us, conceptualize the two questions going on here. I think Kal, to me, sounds like it's a congregation, like a kehillah, a Kal. A Kal would imply there's a leader to this congregation. So whenever the word Kal appears, that is a reference to having leaders, Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, and Miriam. Kal vis-a-vis the leaders. Eda, I like to suggest, is like Edus, testimony. What does Edus, testimony, have anything to do with Bnei Yisrael? It's a testimony of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Edus Hashem. Klal Yisrael, as a people, serve as the, you know, on this earth, something physical of the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the relationship of Klal Yisrael to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So again, Eda and Edus is Hashem's relationship, and Kal, congregation, implying a leader, is Moshe Rabbeinu's relationship. So with those two concepts, Kal is just a, you know, key word for Moshe, Ed is a key word for Hashem. So now going through, let's look at these sukkim of how Klal Yisrael challenged both Moshe and Hashem. So if we go back to, again, Pasuk Dalet. So this Sforno says the first complaint was towards Moshe Rabbeinu. So, V'lama ha'vesim es Kal Hashem. Why'd you bring this Kal? We're attacking you, Moshe Rabbeinu. You're the leader. Kal, again, Kal is Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader. You're the leader. Why'd you bring us here, El HaMidbar HaZeh, to this Midbar, La Mus Shom Anachnu Verein, to kill us? what are the people saying? We were promised that the previous generation were going to die, and we, the new generation, were going to enter Eretz Yisrael with a smooth trip. And now you, the leaders, aren't bringing us in. Miriam died. What's going to happen to you, Moshe and Aaron? If we have no leaders, what are we going to do? You brought us here to die. That's challenge one to Moshe Rabbeinu. Challenge two now in Pasuk K. Yeah. Good question. But this word does appear elsewhere also. For example, when Aaron dies, we'll get to a little bit later, that word Gava is also used. I don't know why it's used in certain places, why it's not, though. It is used sometimes.
Does it have to do anything with what was discussed previously on the same subject?
Like what?
Like when they're talking about the tumor of the men. Does it have to do anything with that?
The word gava does not appear in those psukim, I don't think. It's not on the sheets, I apologize.
It appears in a different form.
Yeah. In Parshas Chukas?
Yeah.
Yeah. By Paraduma? Maybe I missed it. Oh,
okay,
right. That's that's different.
It's the same three letters.
Interesting.
So, is God trying to relate something? Are they upset that there is no water, so they cannot be clean spiritually, or that they cannot drink
water?
Talking about drinking, because it's saying very clearly, to wine and mishtot, the water, there is no water to drink. The same is very possible.
And you're trying to compare the word gava and nogea, right? So they're not exactly the same. The root is a little different. They do have
the numerical value is the same.
Right.
So the rabbis go by that, and they always say that if you have something like that, there is a relationship between.
Right.
Now here is interesting that Miriam, after God talks about death and what happens to you if you touch somebody that dies,
mm-hmm.
right away. God is talking about Miriam's death. And right away after that, people are complaining that there is no water. In order to be clean, to be tahor, you needed the water to mix with the afar.
I see what you're saying.
And here there is no water, so they cannot be clean.
Interesting. That is a very interesting point. But as you pointed out, it says umayim or someone, umayim ayin lishtos, they know water to drink. The concern was the drinking, not necessarily for the tuma of the paraduma, but maybe that's another theme, an underlying idea as well. Very interesting. Could be.
By the way, I'd like to point out something very interesting. Right after the Talmud, it's practically the same description and the same deluna, the same complaint that Israel had back then and here. It's almost the same language and the same reaction.
Oh, yeah?
Because after them freed, they're saying, why did you bring us here to the desert to kill us? To kill us here. Lama, why are you bringing us here? And then right away, Vayikol Moshe Aaron, that's already a few.
But that's what you pointed out, right? He fell on his face there also,
so
right?
Here it's the same exact thing. They're complaining, why did you bring us? The same. Why did you bring us here? To get us killed? You don't have water? And then right away, Moshe Aaron is falling on the face. It's the same language, the same energy.
Probably worth comparing those two even further, right? Very interesting. Yeah, I didn't look into that comparison. It probably requires further attention. Okay. Fine. So, we just addressed the first complaint of the Klal Yisrael towards Moshe Rabbeinu, as referring to a Kal Hashem. And he wanted to know, why did you bring us here to die? If Miriam dies, or died, our leader, what's going to be with Moshe and Aaron, our other leaders? We're going to have no leaders. That's their concern. They were so confident they're going to go Eretz Yisrael, but without leaders, they have nothing. Complaint two now, Pasuk Hey, says, V'lama heli sunu, this is, the Sforno says, this second complaint is towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why do you bring us up, Mimitzrayim, Lavi, Osanu, to bring us To this bad place, and the key thing is, here there's no water to drink. So you can't complain to Moshe Rabbeinu necessarily there's no water to drink. That's not Moshe Rabbeinu's control. You can complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he brings the water. He decides not to bring the water. So this complaint is towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Pasuk here never refers to the word Eda, but earlier in Pasuk Beis, where the green highlight Le'eda, it says V'lo hayamayim Le'eda. There's no water for the Eda. So here again, Eda we said was Edus, testimony for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they refer to an Eda whenever it comes to the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they have no water, the water is in the control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the second complaint is towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do you bring us water, and also refer to as the Eda. Is that clear? Mm-hmm. Fine. So now, watch this response. Vayavo, in Pasuk Vav, Vayavo Moshe ve'Aaron b'pnei HaKal. We said the word b'pnei HaKal is extra. We know, Moshe and Aaron, just say, Moshe and Aaron el Pesach Ol HaMoed. They went to the Ol HaMoed. We know why they're going. The Pasuk just told us they were being challenged. But it says b'pnei HaKal. B'pnei HaKal means they're coming for one of the two reasons. The Kal reason. What's the Kal reason? The Kal reason is us as leaders. They're attacking us as leaders. And that's why we're complaining. We're not coming to you about the water problem, of the Eda problem. We're coming as the Kal problem, our relationship to them as leaders. That's why we're complaining to you. By a plu'al p'neim, they fell on their faces, because they as leaders, they're frustrated. We thought we had a new generation here, people who are so excited who wouldn't complain, and now they're complaining to us as leaders. That was their frustration. So Moshe and Aaron are very frustrated now. And they only, because they only focus on the Kal. They didn't even focus on the Mayim. And also the people are frustrated now because they have no leaders. Now the leaders are dying and they have no water to drink. So now look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor again, back in Pasuk Zayin, Kach Hasamate Va'akel Sa'ida. So gather the Eda. He completely ignores Moshe Rabbeinu's concern for the Kal. Forget the Kal, forget you as leaders. I'm more concerned as an Eda, it's my responsibility to give them water. And he goes on, the word Eda appears a second time, if you follow the green highlights. And Vishki says Eda, the second green highlight, to give water to the Eda. But then look at Pasuk Tes now, Moshe and Aaron go back to the word Ka, because they're concerned with the leadership. Vayikach Moshe es hamatim lefnei Hashem, kasher tzivah, sorry, Pasuk Gid rather. Vayakilu Moshe va'aron es hakal, el pnei asala. They gathered the nation, and then they started screaming at them. Vayom alem, shimu nahamor, rebellion, rebels, listen to what we're saying. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, he wants him to ignore the Kal problem. Just focus on the Eda. Focus on them drinking water. But Moshe and Aaron can't hold back. They're just so frustrated. We wanted people, a new generation, to go to Eretz Yisrael smoothly. I can't not focus. And Moshe and Aaron start screaming at them, you're rebels, you're rebels, you're rebels. And ultimate Farshim want to know what's the chait. Ultimately, Moshe and Aaron, because of the way they responded at the rock, of hitting it, or not speaking to it, a variety of answers or explanations what the cause for their sin was. Ultimately, they did not enter Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't they enter Eretz Yisrael? So I saw one of the Farshim say, it's because they started screaming at them as rebels. Said, you rebels, you rebels, you rebels. That was inappropriate. Why? Because Hashem said, don't be concerned with the leadership role right now. Now, we don't know why Hashem's telling them not to. But he says not to. Yet they can't hold back. They're so frustrated. And Moshe and Aaron sin, and they don't get to go into Eretz Yisrael. The question is, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why was he not so concerned with the challenge, Klal Yisrael's challenge as leaders? So now we jump to the next page for a second. To contrast this to after Aaron dies. In the top of page 2, we don't read it inside right now, Aaron dies. Okay, great. And then, not great, but Aaron dies. And then we jump to Perek Chaf Aleph on the second page, Pasuk Dal. We'll read the Pesukim quickly. Vayisu Mehor HaHar, they left Mehor HaHar, that's where Aaron was buried. Derech Yamsuf Lesvov, to go around as Eretz Edom, they circumvented the Eretz Edom, V'tikser Nefesh Am, they got very tired. Badarach, Vayidaber Ha'am Be'Elokim Moshe, they spoke to Elokim, to God and Moshe, and listen, Lamaheli Sunimim Mitzrayim Lamos Bamidbar, why'd you bring us up to die? Ki'ein Lechem Vein Mayim V'Naf Shenu Kotsa B'Lechem Akulokel. Very similar, slight differences, but very similar to their original complaint. I agree there are slight differences, but without focusing on those right now, what happens? Remember, the first time Moshe Hashem said to them, don't worry about the challenge to the leadership. The fact that they argued on you as leaders, don't worry about it. And he didn't even punish the Klal Yisrael. But listen, Vayishalach Hashem ba'am es hanechashim hasrafim v'inashku es ha'am v'yamas am rav Yisrael. He sent poisonous snakes and killed a big chunk of Klal Yisrael. Isn't this exactly what happened when Miriam died? Miriam died, they complained, for our leaders are dying. Nothing happened. Aaron dies and they're complaining, not necessarily because of Aaron dying, but I guess it is because Aaron's dying, because we said that whenever they're concerned, why did you bring us here to die? We have no leaders, we're deserted here. So they're complaining, Aaron died, we have no leaders. And yet this time, Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes them. What's the difference? So after Miriam died, there is no replacement for Miriam. Hashem said, they have a good reason to be concerned. They had three leaders. They're down to two now. Miriam died and there is no replacement. But this time, Hashem said, I'm going to give you a replacement. Right? If you read the Pesukim, we're not going to read it inside right now, but Elazar Beno, the son of Aaron, became the Kohen Gadol. Aaron went up to the mountain with Moshe and Elazar. Elazar and Moshe Rabbeinu came down. Aaron stayed up there. But Elazar became the new Kohen Gadol. They had a leader. So Hashem says to them, you can't complain about me on this leadership. You still have two now. I agree, the first one, you went down from three to two, you lost Miriam, you only have two leaders now. That's a good reason to complain. I'm not going to challenge you on that one. But here you have another Kohen Gadol. You still have two leaders. Elazar Kohen Gadol and Moshe Rabbeinu is still alive. What's your complaint this time? He sent poisonous snakes. What was the motivation to complain this time for Klal Yisrael? Why were they not satisfied with Elazar? So I think that answer is pretty straightforward, because Elazar, in the end of the day, wasn't Aaron. Aaron was Rav Dev Shalom. Aaron was the people person. Elazar may have been a good person also. I'm sure he was. He probably was. But he wasn't Aaron. And that's why they were so saddened. They got man, yeah.
So why are you complaining about food?
I'll say their complaint on this concern, Rashi points out, it's the same food over, it looks the same, it feels the same.
40 years they've been eating it, all of a sudden they're complaining?
Yeah, it's strange. Suddenly they're complaining about it right now. Like they had enough, they wanted. I think it may have highlighted their drive to go to Eretz Yisrael, where they could see variety of all types of fruits. They were so excited to enter Eretz Yisrael, they wanted, the man was great, they want to see like nice, fresh fruit, maybe something along those lines. I'm not sure. But that might highlight, as what we're saying, the new generation were so excited to enter Eretz Yisrael. They're so motivated.
There is a big difference between the first complaint that we were talking about and here.
There is a big difference.
The water. The first one, it says, Vayikalu al Moshe al Aaron, the brother upon Moshe and Aaron. The second one, is by the Be'elohim Elohim or the Moshe.
Right. Here
the involved Hashem.
Right.
Where the first one is not even mentioned.
Right.
So I think that's why Hashem is being very.
So you're right. In the first one, even though it's not mentioned originally that they challenged Hashem, when back in the first page on Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, Hema Meim Riva, Asher Ravu Bnei Yisrael Es Hashem. It says there that Klal Yisrael did challenge Hashem at that place. Even though I do agree with you, it doesn't mention it at first glance. At the end, it says they did. That might highlight it wasn't as strong of a challenge as the second case you're pointing out. But it's clear from that pasuk, and as Sforna points it out also, that Hashem was challenged also there.
Right. There's also some suggestion that there's a cause between Miriam and mine, that it's through the text. So in the main Mariva section, it says, Shimunaha Morim, which is the same Shoresh as Miriam. And then the verb in Pasuk Gedal is Bayarim, which is same Shoresh as Miriam. So there's, I think that the text suggests some link between having the water and Miriam being there.
Oh, and what do you want to say with that?
So it supports what you're saying, which is that it made more sense for Yisrael to complain when Miriam died than not when Miriam died.
Interesting.
Yeah. But here it doesn't say to her that there was no water or something. Yeah? It seems that they complain, but it is legitimate.
But I guess the question is, well, I'm not sure why here, you're right, I don't know why in the second case they say they have no water. It seems they would have water. The water
there. There was no water and it could be the man was there, so they had no reason to complain.
Yeah. So you're right, so I'm not really sure what the basis of the complaint was, and maybe that could be the reason why they got punished here. Could be. So you're right, there are very many differences here. Maybe you're right. So I was suggesting maybe the difference was because the leadership role, they had a replacement. They had a substitute. You're pointing out that, well, why are they saying they have no water? It has to be a case where they had no water. If the facts weren't there, they did have water, you can't say I didn't have water. There must be a reason why they didn't have water.
They say they have no food and they had food.
Right. So maybe the point is, like what we were answering before, maybe they wanted natural things. They didn't want, this might get to what we're going to say in a bit. They wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael. We want water that's flowing from the rivers. We want nice fresh water. We don't want water in this well that's just going around with us. We don't want bread falling from the sky. We want to work for them. We want real nice fresh bread. Maybe something along those lines. Because there was water, as you said, and there was bread. They were ready to enter Eretz Yisrael. So, with this explanation again, that this second complaint, they were punished because they had a replacement. Aaron left, but you still have two leaders. Elazar took over as the Kohen Gadol. So if they had a new replacement, they have two leaders, so why was Klal Yisrael challenging him? Why were they so upset when Elazar came down? So as we said again, Aaron was something else. You couldn't replace Aaron. And they weren't satisfied with all. Not that they weren't satisfied, but they were missing Aaron. So here's the point.
Maybe they all felt vulnerable. Here we are, we were taken out of the drive. We expect great things to happen, and things aren't looking good.
Yeah, things are not looking good. They lost Miriam, they lost Aaron. They're very concerned, very vulnerable. But there's a lesson that Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach. And I think that will come out to answer now all the shams we spoke about in the beginning. The word sham appeared by Miriam several times. And now, if we just glance over, we won't read the psukim, but in the first page, the bottom, the word sham is highlighted there. It says, "Mei sham, Aaron died there again." And then you flip the page again, it says, "Vayamas Aaron sham, he died there." The word sham, again, in the context of Misa, dying over and over. What's the word sham doing? So, the suggestion I like to make is the word sham is also like shame, name. It's very much like Yibum, the name of Yibum. The word shame is all over the context of Yibum. What's Yibum? Husband and wife, the husband dies. So his brother marries his sister-in-law now, the widow. In order to...
Childless.
What?
If she's childless.
Exactly, if she's childless, right. So the point is to carry on the name, the shame, of the deceased brother. Here too also, we're saying even though they died, the shame, the name, is still eternal. Even though we have a new generation here, and we're moving on, the shame, the legacy is still going to continue. Things will be different. In Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, in the Midbar, you had Nisim. Kadosh Baruch Hu was taking control of everything. The leaders were supernatural. You, this new generation, we're trying to teach you a point, you're going to Eretz Yisrael. Things are going to be good there, but no more Nisim anymore. Things are going to be natural. You're going to have to work the land. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have help. You're going to have Nisim, but they're not going to be Niggle. They're going to be secret, Isim. But you're going to have to work the land. Everything's going to be natural. So the word Sham is telling us the legacy is going to exist. You're going to have these leaders as their name will continue, but you have to be able to move on and work off those names, off the legacy they created, and build off that. You need new leaders. When it came to Miriam and she died, so there was no replacement to pick up where she left off. When it came to Aaron, Elazar was there to continue the legacy. You're right, it won't be the same. It's not going to be the supernatural Aaron that he was, but it's going to work off that, and you have to be able to develop. You have to wean off this supernatural Midbar state. And that's perhaps what Sham and the word shame, that idea is trying to tell us.
Excuse me.
Yes?
If that's the case, why would it come after the word Tamak and after the word Tehaber usually, which is to kill the name? It doesn't make sense.
No, even after someone dies,
know,
the name still.
If you read it as Tamat, 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 or Tamat Shem, It means to kill the name. Right?
Oh, no. I don't mean to say the word here. I'm not trying to say it means name here. It definitely means a place. But why is there this overemphasis of the word sham? What does sham mean there? I'm pointing out it means there. It's very similar to the word shame. I'm not trying to read shame into the words, into the psukim. But sham is telling us, even though they died there, they're always going to be there. They're always going to be there, but we'll know where they are. They'll always exist. Perhaps not physically, but their names, their legacies, their stories, their spiritual givings that they gave to Klal Yisrael will always exist. You always have that to drive us, but they're not going to be physically with us anymore. You have to move on to the new generation with the new leaders, the ones who take the natural route, not the supernatural route, the natural route. But that's the lesson you have to learn. The word sham is trying to teach us, like the word shame by Yibum, we have to continue the legacy of the one who deceased. The word sham is also teaching us, perhaps, we have to continue the legacy of the leaders that died. So, but when Aaron died, and you had this replacement in Elazar, God's telling them, you should have learned this lesson. You have to realize that you're moving in to this Eretz Yisrael that is going to be all natural now. You should have learned the lesson of sham. And yet you still complained? That's why they got punished. Because they did not learn the lesson of sham, of shame, of this new generation. So when did they learn this lesson? So back on the second page, we read the story already where they complained, the poisonous snakes came, attacked them, killed them. And then let's jump to Pasuk Yud. Yud is at the end of the line there. It says, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael vayachnu b'ovos. They camped in Ovos. Vayisu me Ovos. The Pasuk, the Torah always repeats where they came from. They camped in Ovos, then they traveled me Ovos, vayachnu b'yavarim. And they went to this new place. Ba'midbar she'al p'nei Moab mimizach ha-shemesh. And they describe exactly where Yavarim is. And look at Yud Beis. Misham naso. From there they traveled. It should say, Bi'i Havarim naso. Vayachnu b'nachazar. Why is it saying Misham from there? And then again, Pasuk Yugimel, Misham naso. Vayachnu me'varim. From there. We're not calling by its name anymore. And the Baal Turim points us that also. Every single time we talk about, we enumerate all the places they went, all the cities, it says, they camped in A, and they went to B. And then they went from B, they went to C. And from C to D, and so on and so forth. But here they're saying all of a sudden, Misham, from there. They went from there. Baal Turim says, what's going on here? Why do we switch over from Misham? So he gives his answer. I like to suggest, I don't know what happened exactly, but something had happened in the Iyei HaVarim that something clicked. This concept of Sham, of there, which is to us shame, this name, this legacy, they realized, we're ready. We're ready to take the natural route to Eretz Yisrael. We're ready for the new leadership now. We understand what it means to take control. God's not in control anymore. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron are not going to be the supernatural leaders. We as people have to take the initiative. So the word sham appears one more time in this context. Umisham be'era. So now look. I want to conscious one more thing. Back on the first page, the fourth parsha starts Pasuk Yudalit. It says, Vayishlach, this is Chof Yudalit. It says, Vayishlach Moshe Malachim Mikadesh. Moshe sent Malachim to Kadesh to ask for peace, to see if we could pass through. Moshe. Now back on the second page, it says, this is Perek Chafalaf, Pasuk Chafalaf, Vayishlach Yisrael. Not Vayishlach Moshe, Yisrael, the people. Something changed. I think you might have it shaded on your, so Vayishlach Yisrael. And go a few psukim before that, Az Yashir Yisrael. Not Az Yashir Moshe, Az Yashir Yisrael. Before this, it was always Moshe, the leader. Suddenly this Sham, this concept, this word that tells us they're ready for the new generation, the new leadership, it clicked. And the Yisrael started taking the initiative. Az Yashir Yisrael, they sang. Vayishlach Yisrael. Yisrael sent the Malachim. They took control. And that's exactly what this parsha is about, of this new transition. And I'll just conclude, just to explain what the original question I wanted to conclude with, why this parsha has Paraduma at the beginning. Paraduma was given when Moshe and Aaron were both alive. Yet who is the person who is to perform the Paraduma, or who performed it? Elazar. Why is Elazar giving this? Aaron was still around. What's Elazar doing? This halacha, Paraduma, which is all about someone who dies, how to relate to someone who gets in contact with someone who dies, who's tuma. How do you cope with people who die? It's about moving on. It's about having to cope with something and not forgetting about Chas v'Shalom, but being able to take those legacies and to move on. And that was Elazar, in the lifetime of Aaron, was giving this halacha, this mitzvah of do the paraduma. You have to lead the people to be able to take what Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam gave to us and go forward into Eretz Yisrael in the more natural form. All right.